Morning. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah's Mem Tes. We are on Mem Ches. Memches Amud Aleph. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah yesterday on Memches Amud Aleph towards the topic described to us that there were three Asheras. Now, when we say three Asheras, really the number is two, meaning that for sure we know. There is an Ashera that was planted L'shem Ashera, and then there's a tree that was not planted as an Ashera but was subsequently worshipped, and a question amongst the time whether or not that which you it can become an Ashera, even if it was not originally planted as an Ashera. It turns into a machlok between the Tanakam and Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda. And the hard work that we did yesterday was looking at the machlok between the Tanakam and Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda in a fresh light. Meaning it's not the first time we saw it in this Masechta. We saw it back on Daf Memhei. The Gemara discussed it extensively on Memhei, towards the bottom of the Amud, on Memhei Amud Alpha, mostly on Memhei Amud Beis. In terms of really Mem Hamad base, in terms of Machlokas Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, and then yesterday Mem Chesam and Aleph, the Gemara reintroduced us to the Machlokas, but basically flipped it around so that Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda would be of the opinion that if you worship a tree, even if the tree was not planted originally for Avodah Zarah, but you worship it subsequently, not only does the new branches become Avodah Zarah, Chesed Shal Avodah Zarah, but also the original tree as well. It's a totally new take on the. On the Asherah tree, according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Chachamim also had a new way to look at it as well, and so that is that's the good work that we did yesterday in the Gemara. In the meantime, the Mishnah told us that there were three categories of an Asherah. Well, category one, category two, we already know. What is category three? So the category three is Hemitachteha Avodas Kochavim. So there was an Avodah Zarah that was placed under the tree, but not long, you removed it. Arez and Muteres. So it's Muter, which sounds like from the Mishnah that prior to removing it, the tree now is something of a status of an Asherah. And on this point over here of the Mishnah, we're going to now learn, as we get to the next Mishnah, we're on Mem Chesam Ad Aleph, going towards the bottom of the Amud, that this point of the Mishnah is not agreed to by everybody. The Mishnah begins, Ezu Asherah, what is an Asherah? Koshesh Tachra, Avodas Kochavim, if there's an Avodah Zarah underneath it. Meaning, the Mishnah over here seems to be echoing the previous Mishnah. Now, the Gemara is going to struggle a little bit, because what is that? What is the Mishnah over here asking the question, Ezu Asherah, what's an Asherah? We already know what an Asherah is. We already explored the question. In fact, just one Mishnah ago, which is on the same Amud of Gemara, the Mishnah said that there were three Asherahs. So what is it? What's the Gemara doing over here? What's the Mishnah doing over here saying Ezu Asherah? So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to be bothered by that. So, but if there's an Avodah Zarah underneath it, then the tree is now a Tashmishi Avodah Zarah, and the tree is labeled Asherah. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kol She'ovdin Osa, Kol She'ovdin Osa. And Rabbi Shimon says now, in other words, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that only if you worship the tree itself, it becomes an Asherah. But if what you're worshiping is an Avodah Zarah that's underneath the Asherah tree, so then the tree itself is totally unaffected. So there was an incident in Sidon where they were worshipping it, meaning what seemingly was a tree. But meanwhile, there was a mound right underneath the tree. Amalam Rabbi Shimon Basko Asagal. Rabbi Shimon says, okay, let's investigate this mound. What's going on over here? Asagal is there. Ubatku, Umatsu Batsura. And they found Avodah Zarah, right, idols, underneath this tree in this mound. Amalam Holot Surah ain't Ovdim, not Delenis Ilan. So Rabbi Shimon says, okay, the tree's fine. Meaning Rabbi Shimon Lashita so, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that if the tree is not the actual item that's being worshipped itself, and the tree is only servicing and accessorizing the Avodah Zarah underneath, the tree does not have any status, and Rabbi Shimon says this tree is not an Asherah tree. Ezehu Asherah. Here's the Gemara where it's bothered by the question which I foreshadowed. I don't understand. Our Mishnah opens up the question of Ezehu Asherah. What does that mean? V'anan shalosh Asherah sinan. Go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that there are three trees. Hachi Kamar, the Gemara says, correct. This is the right way to understand our Mishnah. Shtaim l'divrei HaKol, meaning. The first two that are mentioned in the previous Mishnah, no argument, right? It's a Dover Pasha. An Asherah tree that was planted as an Asherah tree, or an Asherah tree which was subsequently worshipped after it was planted, but the tree itself was worshipped. So that is Asherah category one, Asherah category number two. And that's a Dover Muska, and everyone agrees to that. And I'll say under my breath, by the way, everyone agrees to that. Meaning, yes, there's a disagreement between the Tanakam and Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, regarding the Asherah number two. And yes, there are now two ways to learn that Machlokas, the Gemara Memhan, the Gemara Memches. But I say that all under my breath. In other words, but at least there is these two Asherah trees, which is where you're directly worshiping the Asherah. However, the achas, but there is one, meaning the third category of the previous Mishnah, machlokas the Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan, meaning there's one where there's a disagreement whether or not it's Asherah at all. Ezu Asherah shenechlu ba Rabbi Shimon v'chachamim, koshesh tachle avodas kochavim. That's what our Mishnah is introducing us to. What is a controversial Asherah? Meaning, what is the tree which may or may not be an Asherah, depending on who you are like? Rabbi Shimon Amar Kosher of the Nosa, Ezu Asherah. Okay, fine, period. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of that discussion. So really, our Mishnah over here, this Mishnah, is discussing the third Asherah, quote-unquote, the controversial Asherah, whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not even an Asherah. Ezu Asherah, Stam, what is an Asherah? Meaning, what are going to be some good telltale signs that the tree is an Asherah? Meaning, I can't imagine there's an actual sign on the tree itself saying, hi, I'm an Asherah, right? open for worship. Meaning, how do we know if a tree is an Asherah or not? So the Gemara is now going to give us some telltale signs. Amarav, koshik komrim, yoshim tachta, ve'in tamim, beperastam. So you see the priest is sitting underneath the tree, and they're not making usage of the fruit of the tree. Meaning that the tree for them somehow is a holy item, and the way to clearly identify its holiness is by not eating it, not eating from it. Right, correct. In other words, right. Again, it goes back to the question of how are we supposed to know. Okay. And Shmuel says, look, even if you just simply say that these dates coming off of this tree are going to Bein Itzarfai. Bein Itzarfai is the name of an Avodah Zarah. And they pour some beer and they drink from it on their holiday. And the Gemara says that's in fact the halacha. Meaning, even if they use the fruit of the tree, but they use it on special occasions, so now you know that this is an Asherah tree. We are on Mem Chesam Adbeis, the Mishnah Lo Yishev Betzilam. Now let us sit under the shadow of the tree. Okay, now, when talking about sitting underneath the Asherah tree, so let us, just a quick introduction, so let's speak to three areas under the tree. Area number one is the area directly under the tree itself, okay? So in other words, you're looking directly up, and you see the branches. So that is area number one, directly under the tree. Area number two is going to be what's called the tzel, the shade of the tree. But over here, if we may, I'm just going to give you a good visualization in terms of understanding the difference between tzel and tzel tzilo. So if you will, as everyone understands, the sun rises, so it creates a long shadow. The sun moves now towards the top of the heaven. So it's going to create not a perfect straight line going down. The world is on a tilt. But in other words, but basically, shadow obviously is going to get much shorter. Of course, I'm speaking horizontally from where your feet are. And then as the sun sets, the shadow gets longer. Okay, so if we can, let's now draw a line going from the sun to the tree to the ground, and basically let's create it at a 45 degree angle. Okay, so if you know your triangles, so basically now you're looking at a 90, but a 45 and a 45. So in other words, if the tree is a perfect 90 degree angle. So in other words, that is what's called the halachic tzel, that's called the shade. Meaning the sun is now either somewhere towards midday, on either side, either in the morning or in the evening. And so therefore what it's doing now is it's casting a shadow, and it's a pretty good shadow. And because now the sun is now towards the top of the sky, so the sun is now good and hot, and the shade now is nice and cool. So that is what we're going to call in halacha tzel. So as long as you're within a 45 degree angle from the tree, from the top of the tree, so that's called tzel. And then you're going to hear a term later on in the sugya called tzel tzilo, the shade of the shade. So the shade of the shade, it's not derivative shades. Shade of the shade just simply means that the shadow that casts is not really that helpful. The early morning, the late afternoon, the shadow now that's being cast is really far. In other words, it goes very far. So now you're more than the distance of the tree vertically, horizontally away from the base of the tree. Meaning that the shadow that's cast is now going to be less than 45 degrees. Well, I guess it depends on where you measure. Okay, in other words, I'm measuring from the ground. So it's going to be less than 45 degrees. So that means to say that this shadow is not that significant. So again, three areas. Directly under the branches, in the shade, meaning at a 45 degree angle from the top of the tree, or in the shade of the shade, greater than, at a greater distance. So now, with all that in mind, so let's see the Mishnah inside. Lo yeshev bitzila v'im yeshev tor. Now, you're not allowed to be under the stele of the tree. Now, again, stele over here is not directly under the tree. In fact, take a look at the Rashi, the first Rashi in the Amud. Lo yeshiv b'tzila ha'itzel lav tachas nof ilanu. We're not talking about under the tree. De'im kain, lo masin lav im yeshiv tahor. Because if that would be the case, it wouldn't say that by sitting underneath it, you'd be tahor. Da'ak tani sefer lo yavar tachta v'im avar tamei. Because as we're about to learn together in the Mishnah, if you're under the branch itself, you will be tamei. Elamina ilan v'hala. Hokach lav ohu kishachama b'mizrach b'mav yesh lechol adam stel aroch ukishachama omeres b'emtzah rakia ein lechol davar stel ela tachtav. Okay, and Rashi just simply goes through the shades that I went through earlier. But in other words, we're not talking about directly under the tree. You'd be tummy. Now, as the Gemara itself is going to teach us, it's a very interesting tuma because basically what we're talking about over here is tumas ohel. Now that's strange because not so long ago in the daf. So we learned earlier that there is a discussion about the Chachamim slapping a tuma on Avodah Zarah. And if you remember, there were two opinions that we learned earlier. Either it was tuma kesheretz, or it was tuma kenida. Sheretz only is metame b'maga, through contact. Nida is metame b'magu v'masa, with contact and with carrying. Over here now, we're talking about ohel, being under the branches of the roof. That wasn't one of the options that we explored earlier. It is something to consider, something to think about, and maybe we'll present a way to understand why in our Mishnah we're talking about Tumas Ohel. Anyway, let's see the Mishnah now inside. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's learn the Mishnah. Lo yeshiv b'tzila v'im yeshiv tahor. So you're not allowed to sit under the tree, and if you do so, you will be tahor. V'lo yavar tachta v'im avar tameh. But you can't go directly under the tree, meaning now you're directly under the branches, and if you do so, you will be tameh. Ha'isa gozel says rabim v'avar tachta tahor. Now let's say the tree was gozel es harabim, stole the public. Someone illegally planted the tree in a manner in which now the branches are going to be going over the street. It had no permission to go there. As a result of that, so the Chachamim basically said, we know that we slapped a tuma on the tree, but not when it encroaches on the public area. If it does so the Chachamim do not impose their tuma derabbanan. Right, va'avar tachta atari. In fact, you'll see this at the last Rashi in the Mishnah. Rashi hachtuma derabbanan hi. Rashi says this is a tuma derabbanan who cried to my sin in the Gemara asmachta ba'amahi. Now, yes, Rashi says you will see the Gemara quote a pasuk, but Rashi says, but that's just an asmachta. Va'achinam yamin beperagrab yishmal dachtuma derabbanan hi ve'heicha degozel serabim lo gozer rabbanan. And in a manner in which the tree was planted illegally, where its branches are now going into the Rishos HaRabim, so the Chachamim basically retracted, they rescinded their Gzera Durabanan, and the tree is not a source of Tumah. Okay. Start with the Gemara, Lo Yeshiv B'Tzila Pshita. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to be under the branches of the tree, under the shade of the tree. And the Gemara to that says, well, isn't that obvious? Meaning that you're getting benefit from Avodah Zarah, and we're not allowed to get benefit from Avodah Zarah. Amar Rabba Barbachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Nitzucha Ela Tzeltzila. So the Gemara says, well, no, you're not understanding the Mishnah correctly. The Mishnah is not talking about the shade. The Mishnah is talking about the shade of the shade. And again, now that I right, if you go back to what I said in the beginning of the Mishnah, the shade of the shade means that you are further away than just a 45-degree angle from the top of the tree, and whatever shade it is providing right now, it's negligible. It's not even on. So the Gemara says, Mechlal de Betzel Kamasim Yashav Tamei. So the Gemara says, now, here's what it sounds like you're saying. Sounds like what you're saying is, if I'm in the shade, meaning the 45-degree shade, so it sounds like I'm Tamei. Now, that can't be. In other words, if we're talking about Tumas Ohel, even on a rabbinic level, Tumas Ohel only goes in one direction, vertically. There's no angles by Tumas Ohel. So even though it sounds like from the Mishnah you're going to be Tamei if you sit under the cell, if in fact the Mishnah is only talking about Tzel Tzilah, but that can't be. So the Gemara immediately corrects itself. So the Gemara says, no. If you're under the Tzel, meaning the 45-degree shade, so you're not going to be Tamei. Of course you're going to be Tamei. The Mishnah is just teaching us another Chiddush, which is that Tzel Tzilah is an area that you shouldn't sit as well. Meaning in order to create even a further barrier from the Avodah Zarah, so not only should you not be under the shade of the tree, but not even under the shade of the shade. Now there are some say this at the on the latter part of the Mishnah. Meaning, what is obvious that if I'm sitting under the shade, meaning not under the tree, but within the shade, you're going to be tower. So they're talking about the tzel kamasa, meaning we're only talking about the area of the 45-degree angle. So that means to say that if you're in self sila, so if you're further away than the 45-degree angle, so then you should be able not only to, not only you're not going to be tamei, but it sounds like lechachila you can even sit there. So the Gemara says lo kamashmal and dafil itself kamasa im yeshiv tar. No, the Gemara says no. Maybe the conclusion is that you can't be under any shade, not the 45-degree angle, and not anything even at a greater distance. But what the Mishnah is just simply saying is that even if you're in the cell, the 45-degree angle, but because you're not directly under the branches of the tree, you're not going to be tummy.
Even at the 45-degree angle, you're getting direct benefit.
Agreed. Meaning that the tumma only can come as a result of being directly under, because again, tumma operates with principles, with operating principles. And so being at an angle is not going to create tumma. Yes, you're getting a none, that's why you shouldn't be there. But in other words, but the tumma is not going to go along with it. So the Gemara says, "V'lo yavor tachtevi imavor tamei." My time, if
should the like a takrov. In the shade, you also derive a benefit.
Yeah, agreed.
Agreed.
But in other words, but with the there's two issues. Number one, there is a you're not allowed to get benefit from avodah zarah. That's why you're not allowed to be under the shade. And two is that if you are within a proximity, you're going to be tamei. But tamei has to be transmitted.
I'm not talking about.
Okay, fine.
The Gemara says sitting, even if you're standing.
Okay, stay tuned. All right, we'll talk a little bit more about sitting, standing, even running. Well, the Gemara is going to discuss in just a moment. So, my Tami, Yefshe Delaka Tarkovas Avodas Kochav. So, the Gemara says over here that the reason why you're going to be Tami, and specifically Tumas Ola, is because there's going to be Tarkovas Avodas Zara. So, Mani Rav Yehuda Ben Beseri Detanya. So, the Gemara says, now this goes in accordance with Rav Yehuda Ben Beseri, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Rav Yehuda Ben Beseri Omer, Minala Tarkovas Avodas Kochav, Shemetame Be'ohel. So Tekrovus Avodas Kochavim is Matame Ba'ohel. Shinemar V'itzbedula Ba'apor V'yachlu Zivchei Meisim. Ma'amez Matame Ba'ohel, Av Tekrovus Avodas Kochavim Matame Ba'ohel. Now we already know Rashi's opinion because Rashi told us this back in the Mishnah. Now we just quoted a Pasuk. The Pasuk says Rashi is just an Asmachta. It's really a Tumah D'Rabbanan, but it's not a bona fide Gzeres HaKasuk. However, we can respond to the question that I asked earlier in the Mishnah. Meaning, in the Mishnah, what we learned in the previous Mishnah, or not in the previous Mishnah, but in a previous Mishnah, we learn that the tumah that the Chachamim slapped on Avodah Zarah is either going to be, your choices are either Maga or Masa. And now we're talking about Tumas Ohel, but now, basically, we see the difference. What's the difference? Difference is, previously we were talking about the Avodah Zarah itself. Here we're talking about Takrovis Avodah Zarah, something which is offered to the Avodah Zarah. Since it's impossible for there not to be Takrovus Avodah Zarah under the tree, so here since we have Takrovus Avodah Zarah, so the tumah that the Chacham slapped on it is not a, it's not just a tumah either Maga or Masa, but even higher than that, it's Tumas Ohel. Yes, I'll point out a somewhat of an irony in that for the Avodah Zarah itself, it's only either going to be the tumah Maga or Masa, depending on whose opinion you follow earlier. Over here, when we're talking about something which is offered to the Avodah Zarah, so the level of tumah, the degree of tumah is going to be higher, where it's even going to be transmitted through ohel. Okay, so that's obviously an interesting point, that the Chachamim were more severe when it comes to the takrovis avodah zarah than to the avodah zarah itself. E bayilahu. I'm sorry, let's read the heading. Haisa gozel saram v'aver tachta atari e bayilahu aver or over. Question the Gemara has over here, it's a subtle question, but it's important, meaning, if the tree was planted in a means in which the branches of the tree are now encroaching on the public domain. So the Mishnah says that if you pass underneath it, you're going to be Tahor. Does the Mishnah mean that L'chatchila you're allowed to? Or does the Mishnah just simply mean that B'di'evit? And the question over here is really simple now. Are you allowed, knowing that that tree now is a tree where there was Takrovus Avodah Zarah underneath it, and knowing that the tree normally gives off Tumas Ohel, but the tree now is planted in the area of Rosh Hashanah. So I know that it won't have a Tumah D'Rabbanan, but is that only B'di'evin? Or L'chatchila, may I just simply go past the tree? Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar Meshmei D'Chizki Amar Over, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Im Avar. Machlokes Amarayim. V'lo Pligi Hadika Dirka Achrina Hadalaika Dirka Achrina. But the Gemara says, but it's not a machlokes. If there's another means to go, so you should go down the other means. If you don't and you use this path underneath this tree, L'chatchila, you should not have done so, but B'di'evin, you're not Tamei. If, however, there's no other path to go down, and this tree is totally blocking, meaning the area underneath the tree is totally in the way of the Rishus HaRabim, so then you have every right to go underneath the tree. So Rav Shesha says to his attendant as follows. Rav Shesha was blind, always had somebody walking him. Rav Shesha knew the terrain, knew the territory, and he said, look, we're going to go underneath that tree, and so when we go past it, so we're going to run. Okay, and we're going to reduce the amount of time that we're underneath the tree. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand that. Hey, chidami. If there was no other path to take, and this is tree now is planted over the Rishos HaRabim, so then as we just learned together, you have lechatchila permission to go under the tree, and there's no need for running. So the Gemara says, and if there's another pathway to go, so then lechatchila, you should take the other pathway. And so the Gemara says, so I don't understand Rav Sheshes' instruction to his attendant, we're going to go underneath the tree, you know, it's a tree of Avodah Zarah, let's run. What? So the Gemara says, "Lo'olam de'le'kadir ka'achrina v'adam chashoshani." So the Gemara says, there's no other way to go. If there's no other way to go, then for you and me, we have total license to walk underneath that tree, as that tree is encroaching on the Rishos HaRabim, and you don't have to run, you can walk. But Rav Sheshes is an Adam Chashav, he's an important person, and so for him, he wants to minimize the amount of time that he's under the tree. That's why he tells his attendant, let's run, let's make a break for it. Okay. We start now the next Mishnah, and this Mishnah takes us through the first Amud of today's Daf, and now this Mishnah is going to introduce us to the idea of Zev Zegore. Okay, now this is a concept which we already discussed before, but let's survey the topic, the issue first, and then let's see the Mishnah inside. We're going to see a lot of examples in the upcoming sugya of Zev Zegore. Again, the idea of Zev Zegore is as follows. In other words, when we're talking about something which is asr, obviously, depending on whatever the asr is, so you can't eat it, you can't benefit from it, again, depending on what the asr is. But let's say the asr was added to something else. Well, if it's added to something else, so that's what's called an halacha tarov. It's a mixture. And again, it really depends on what it is and what the ratio is, and there's a number of variables to take into consideration. Over here, though, we're not talking about the isur itself. We're not even talking about a tarovus. We're talking about a gorin, meaning that this item now is a contributing force. It is a catalyst in what is creating something else. So in other words, it is now a really important component towards the creation of another entity. And so when it creates another entity, so it is what's called the gorin. Now, not so long ago in the Daf, we saw this regarding making of a cheese. Meaning what we do is we take some of the wonderful juices and liquid that are found within the stomach of the animal. It's pirshabam, it's not meat, meaning whatever the good stuff is inside. There are wonderful enzymes in it. It's called rennet. And what they used to do back then is that they used to take it and they put it into the milk, and it basically was a catalyst and caused the milk to turn into cheese. And so now that's what's called in halacha, it is called a gorim. It causes something else to be created. So when you have something which is a gorim, so we have a basic rule of anything that produces something else, well, the yield is going to basically be the same thing that where it came from. That's generally the case. It's true. In other areas of halacha, what I'm saying over here, I'm borrowing a phrase from another Gemara, but it speaks to the idea. Call a yotzei min atahor tahor. Call a yotzei min atame tame. I understand I'm quoting it out of context, but that's the basic idea. Over here, the discussion that we're going to be having in the Gemara is where there are two factors that caused the creation of something else. And when I have two factors that are causing the creation of something else, and one of them is us and one of them is mutter, so now we are looking at what's called in halacha zev zegorim. This one and this one are both contributing factors in terms of creating this entity. And so now, which one is more significant? Let us make an assumption throughout this entire sugya that I needed both. Meaning if that the Isser by itself could have created the Isser by itself, so then this isn't going to be a good example of Zev Zegorim. In fact, as we go through the sugya, you're going to see a line upcoming in the Gemara where what I'm saying is, the Gemara pretty much says it. Zev Zegorim will be under the circumstances where I needed both. So I have two causalities towards an item, towards the creation of an item. And now is that item going to be asr, is it going to be mutter? So it's a machlokas hatanayim. Okay, and over the course of this sugya, we're going to see the various opinions. So now we're still underneath the tree. So it's an asherah tree. We're not allowed to get benefit from the tree itself. We're not allowed to make usage of the shade underneath the tree. And now we're talking about planting under the tree. Now, I understand. If you're planting under the tree, it means you're going to be under the tree. How can that be? Okay. Maybe you're holding an umbrella. Okay, I didn't mean that last point as a serious point. Okay, yes.
Yeah, but we didn't ask for that shade tree itself, just that that grows underneath for oil, right?
Okay.
You pointed it out.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the Gemara said it. I mean, yes. Okay. All right. Somehow, you're planting vegetation under the tree. So the winter harvest is fine, but not the summer harvest. Okay. Why should that be? So Rashi explains, I'll tell you why. Because the winter harvest right now, there's not a lot of sun. And so whatever sun is out there, I desperately need. So the shade that's being provided by the tree during the winter is not only not helpful, it's harmful. It's really something I don't want. So really the truth of the matter is that the shade in the winter for that winter harvest is not a contributing factor. In fact, it's something I'd really prefer not to be there. So therefore, I can plant in the winter because the shade is not helpful. But in the summertime, however, that shade really is needed. Meaning it's really hot out there in the summer, and the vegetation could use a little bit of shade. So the shade being provided by the tree is something which you have to take into consideration. It is a factor. So that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, lo yibiyamos achama, but you can't plant it during the summer months. Veha chazirin, but if it's something like lettuce, Rashi calls it lechuga, but if it's lettuce, lo yibiyamos achama, velo yibiyamos achshamim. You can't plant it, neither in the summer or in the winter. And in other words, for the lettuce grows equally as well, both in the summer and in the winter, and even in the in the winter months, the shade is good for the lettuce. Now, Rav Yossi says, look, let's go back to the not lettuce, meaning I'm planting other vegetables. Now, the Tanakhama says that during the winter it's fine because the shade is not beneficial. Rav Yossi says, look, the shade is not beneficial. I'll grant you that. But you know what happens during the winter harvest? So the leaves are coming down, the foliage is coming down. The leaves now are going to disintegrate into the ground and serve as fertilizer. So now you have the leaves of the asherah tree serving as a benefit to the growth. So that is called gorim number one. Gorim number two, of course, is the ground itself. Now the ground is not avodah zarah. So you have now two contributing factors in terms of the growth of the vegetation. The foliage, which is fertilizer. The ground. So we have now a classic scenario of Ze gorim. Ground is a gorim, leaves are a gorim, and so between the combination of the two, we have now growth, and Rav Yossi says it's going to be aser. So what we can say, just give me a moment, so what we can say now is that according to Rav Yossi of the Mishnah, Zev is a gorim is aser. And seemingly what we're also going to be saying is that the Tanakhama holds Zev is a gorim is mutter. And the Gemara is bothered by that, by what I just suggested. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you don't have to go that far back in the daf. We go back to the daf Mem Gimel, and we learn just the opposite. Did not. Rav Yossi Amar Shochek V'Zara L'Ruach. We're talking about the disposal of Avodah Zarah. Rav Yossi says, what you do is you grind it up and you throw it into the wind. Even though it's going to land on somebody's field, maybe even your own. Or you throw it into the ocean. Amar Lo Afi Nasa Zevel. And to that, the Chachamim say back to Rav Yossi, what are you talking about? That now is going to be creating fertilizer, and that will help in the growth, and basically you can't do that. So, v'nemer lo yidbak b'yachem u'mem minacherem. So, kasha d'rabbana, d'rabbana, kasha d'Rav Yossi, d'Rav Yossi. This represents now a double kasha. Because in our Mishnah, Rav Yossi says, Zevek Zegarim is Asar. In the Mishnah, Daf Mem Gimel, Rav Yossi was the opinion that Zevek Zegarim is Mutter. So that obviously is a kasha from Rav Yossi, and the converse also is problematic. The Chachamim over there said it is unacceptable. The Chachamim over here say that it is acceptable. And so what we have now, what we're looking at is what's called a stira. So Bishlam to Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi lo kasha hasan de kazal ibud, mate hachad lo kazal ibud aser. So the Gemara says, look, for Rav Yossi's standpoint, I already can see a distinction. And the distinction looks like this. On the Mishnah Mem Gimel, we're grinding up the Avodah Zarah. Grinding up the Avodah Zarah, that's destruction of the Avodah Zarah. And as Rashi over here reminds us, remember back then, meaning, let's assume that you didn't assume ownership of the Avodah Zarah yet. Let's assume that. So now when the Avodah Zarah gets ground up, so not only is it now ground up, but it's also mevutal. It's bittul. Meaning, it is Avodah Zarah she'nishtabra me'alaha. Or I should say better, it's no worse than Avodah Zarah she'nishtabra me'alaha. Now, admittedly, that is the opinion of Reish Lakish, not the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Right? That part's true. But, again, I'm just saying over Rashi right now. But, in other words, but you are looking, actually, the point is to destroy it. So, fine. So, over there, Rav Yossi is going to be more makel because that's your whole goal, is to destroy it. Over here, however, as the leaves are falling down, there was no goal of destruction. There was no interest in destroying it. That's just simply the natural phenomena that occurs, that the leaves are going to fall and serve as fertilizers. And you know that's going to happen. But Ela derabana kasha. So the Gemara says, okay, so I already see a distinction in terms of Rav Yossi there, Amem Gimel, versus here, Amem Ches Amed Beis. But according to the Chachamim, the Gemara says, I'm stuck. I'm really stuck. Over here in our Mishnah, the Chachamim tell us that Zev Zegarim is Mutter. There, they hold Zev Zegarim is Aser, and I don't really see a distinction. And so therefore what? Epoch. So we're going to have to flip. We're going to have to flip one of the Mishnayos. Okay? It's funny. The Gemara sometimes tells us which one to flip. The Gemara sometimes does not tell us which one we should be flipping. Rashi sometimes supplements. Okay. Here, the Gemara is simply saying flip one of the two. I don't know which one the Gemara is suggesting to flip. Ibai zema lo'olam lo'tepuch. Rav Yossi kideshanina. So the Gemara says, or maybe no. Maybe let's keep each Mishnah as we have it. Let's answer for Rav Yossi like we did just a moment ago. And Rabbanan kidama Rav Mari Bere Rav Kahana Mash Mashbech Be'or Pogim Be'basar Hachanami Mash Mashbech Be'Nevia Pogim itself. Basically, you have to do a cost analysis of the foliage falling down. So, and really true of the matter is that the statement of Rav Mari Bere Rav Kahana was said over in the Gemara in Bacharis and in the Gemara in Temura. I'll tell you what, for purposes of just conservation of time, I'm not going to go through the sugya over there. I'll just say over, you will see the Rashi here, Rashi goes through it. I'll just explain it in the context of our Gemara over here. Look, what happens in the wintertime is that, yes, the leaves do fall down. And yes, the leaves create fertilizer for anything that's growing underneath it. Oh, that's true. But you know what happens when the leaves fall down? So it takes a long time, that part's true. But also, you know what happens? Is that we also lose whatever shade we have. Meaning that because the leaves now fall, so now there is simply no shade. And so, when the leaves fall, and there is no shade, so on one hand, there is a gain by the leaves falling, but there also is going to be a loss because now I'm losing my shade. So in other words, you have to take into consideration the gain versus a loss. Meaning, basically, you have to do an analysis. And what we could say now on behalf of in defense of the Chachamim, in the previous Mishnah, Mem Gimel, they said, Zev Zegarim is Aser, because what I'm doing is I'm taking the fertilizer, and I'm spraying it onto somebody else's field, or even my own field. Okay, that's a gain. That's a net positive gain. Over here, when the leaves come down, so yes, the leaves now coming down are creating fertilizer, but at the same time, I no longer have any shade. So it is not a net positive gain. It's a gain coupled together with a loss, and let's call it a wash. Okay, I'm not doing the analysis right now with any kind of numbers, but let's call it a zero. So now, under those circumstances, that's why the Chachamim and our Mishnah say that it would be okay, it would be fine. So mash mashbech benaviyah pogam itself. V'savar, so far what do we have? A concept of Zev Zegarim in our Mishnah, a concept of Zev Zegarim in the Mishnah Mem Gimel. Seemingly the opinions cross one another. The Gemara finds a way to distinguish both Rav Yossi and according to the Chachamim. And now really for the remainder of the Sugya, almost for the entirety of the Sugya, we're basically going to try to match various Tanaim and their Shittas throughout Shas. V'sever, Rav Yosi Zev is a Gemara Maser, V'hatanan. So the Gemara here quotes the Mishnah from Arla. Rav Yosi Omer. Now, rule number one when it comes to Arla. First of all, we all know, a tree after it's planted, first 3 years after it's planted, the fruit from that tree are Aser. Aser ba'achila, Aser ba'na. You can't eat from those fruit, you can't benefit from the fruit. Okay, that's the basics. Rule number one, the Iser of Arla only applies to the fruit, it doesn't apply to the branches. Okay, so, with that in mind, Rav Yosi Omer, notin yichur shal Arla. Ve'inotin egos shal arla mineshu pri. Okay, so here's what you can do and here's what you cannot do, says the Mishnah Arla. So what you can do is you can take a branch of an arla tree and you could stick it right into the ground and basically plant with that branch. It's an arla tree. You're not allowed to get hana. You're only not allowed to get hana from the fruit. You for sure can get hana from any of the branches of the tree, but here's what you can't do. You can't take an egos. You can't take a nut, which is a fruit, and you can't plant that in the ground, because then the result is that you're going to be getting benefit from that fruit. So the Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Moda Rav Yosi, Shem Natza Be'ever Chirkiv Mutter. However, let's say you planted the nut, and now the tree is growing from that nut. So that's not good. But now let's say what I do is I graft. I graft using some other, either by reinserting it into the ground, or by adding another tree on, a tree which is mutter. So now if I'm grafting onto this usher tree, so now what is going to be the result? The result is going to be heter. Why? Because the Mishnah over here is basically giving us another example of zev zegorim. Meaning the tree that came from the nut is usher, but by now grafting another tree, a heter tree onto it, so now all the fruit that this tree is growing is now going to be the result of two forces. One, the tree, and two, the grafted tree that you grafted on it. And Rav Yosi says that would be fine. V'tanyinami achim, Oda Rav Yosi, and we are now on the top of Mem Tesamon Aleph. Shim nata v'hivrich v'hirkiv mutter. So this is a Baraisa telling us the same idea. That for Rav Yosi, if I took the tree that I planted from the nut and grafted with another tree, so I have now an example of Zevazagorim, and therefore it's going to be mutter. And so what just happened over here? I'm confused. And our Mishnah, Rav Yosi says, Zevizagorim is Aser. In the Mishnah, our Lord, Rav Yosi says, Zevizagorim is Mutter. And Vechitem, Mishnah, Lele, Rav Yosi, Ben Shari, Sum, Lava, Esko, Chavim. And the Gemara says, and I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that we're learning Masech Avodah Zarah. And as we have learned in a number of different ways, we tend to be more machmir when it comes to the Yisr of Avodah Zarah. And so maybe that would be a good way to explain Rav Yosi. Meaning that Arla is not a function of Avodah Zarah. So Zevizagorim will be Mutter. And over here, when we're talking about the issues of Avodah Zarah, Zev Zegarim is going to be Aser. Umishani Levatanya Sadashin is Davla Bezevla Voskochavim, Vechem Parashin is Patma Bekarshine Voskochavim. So here now the Gemara quotes a Brisa, where I have a field that was fertilized through Avodah Zarah fertilization. Or I have an animal that was fattened up using feed of Avodah Zarah. So Tanicha da Sadatizara Parati Shachivitanya Idachsara Sadatavor Uparatiraze. So we have two conflicting braces in terms of what you should do. One braisa basically says you're okay, go ahead, go forward, plant in that field, shech the animal, and the other braisa says no. Let the field remain fallow, wait till the fertilizer kind of like burns out, so to say, and let the animal get skinny again, so you're not getting any benefit whatsoever from the feed. So now one braisa says basically it's okay, and the other braisa says it's not okay. And again, these are more examples of zev zegorim, meaning the field that's fertilized, is the fertilization the only thing causing the growth? Of course not, meaning you have the field as well. The animal that's fattened, is it the avodah zarah feed that's causing its growth? It's a contributing factor, but it's not the only factor. So the Gemara says that these are examples of zev zegorim. And it's within the topic of Avodah Zarah. So now the Gemara says, my love, Rav Yosi, I'm sorry, ha Rav Yosi, va Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, so one Brisa is going like Rav Yosi, and the other Brisa is going like the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, and if that's true, so then, so that puts us in a bit of a bind. Because although it puts us in a little bit of a bind. So the Gemara says, "Lo, ha Rebbe Lazar v'ha Rabbanan." The Gemara says, "No." In other words, we don't know who the author of that brisa is, and you don't have to say it's Rav Yosi. You could say it's going like Rabbi Eliezer. Now, you can ask me, who's Rabbi Eliezer in this context? We haven't seen him yet. And I'll say to you, that's correct. We haven't. Hi, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbanan Ilema. So now the Gemara says, so let's find Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbanan Desor, did not. So here we're going to be quoting a Mishnah, Sor Shalchulin. Vishal Truma, Shanafal, Lestoch. Ha'isa. Lo Bezekedei Lachametz, Velo Bezekedei Lachametz. So I'm putting now two yeasts into the dough in order for the dough to rise. In the good old days, yeast was basically moldy bread. So you took a little piece of moldy bread. One was from Truma, and the other one was from Chulin. There wasn't enough in either one to create leavening. Only through the combination of the two now do we have leavening. And if I put the two together, they're going to be mitzaref. Kedei lechametz v'nitzarfu v'chimtzu. Rabbi Elazar Omer Acher and Aniba. Now Rabbi Elazar has an interesting opinion that needs clarification. He says you go after the last one that was put in. Hold that thought for just a moment. The Chachamim Omer Ben Shanafa Lisa Lechatchila Ben Shanafa Isa Levesof Eino Aser Hashiebo Kedei Lechametz. And the Chachamim say it's fine. The whole thing is fine, meaning unless there's enough truma yeast to create chimutz, you're fine. It's a contributing factor. The Chachamim holds Evezegar Mizmutter. Okay, good. So Amar Abay Loshana Ela Shekadim Vesila Ketsa Iser Aval Lo Kadim Vesila Ketsa Iser Aser. And Abaye says, now let's go back to Rabbi Eliezer, let's understand Rabbi Elazar's Shita. Rabbi Elazar says, that is only when, first you put in the truma yeast, then you take out the truma yeast, and then you put in the chulin yeast. Under those circumstances, then you go after the last one. However, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, if I have the truma yeast, and I have the chulin yeast, and they're both here, and they're both contributing factors, they're going to be usher. And so if that's the correct way to understand Rabbi Eliezer, so now what we have just found together, what we have just located, is a shita that holds that Zevah Zekarim is going to be usher, even Bishari Surim. Umimai detami de Rabbi Eliezer kedah Abaye, the Gemara says, now, you just explained Rabbi Eliezer, but how do I know that Abaye is giving the correct way to understand it? Delma tami de Rabbi Eliezer mishum da'acha acharon anibah. Well, first of all, look back at the Mishnah. Did you read the language of Rabbi Eliezer? It's not because he's talking about Zevah Zegarim. In fact, the Svar of Rabbi Eliezer is Acher Acher Ananiba. It's similar to the idea by Shabbos of what we call Makeh Bepatish, the final blow. E gamar b'isura asura, v gamar b'etera mutarin, bein silka bein lo silka. Meaning, it could just simply be that what is giving the finishing touch to the bread? What caused the final leavening of the bread? If it's something which was mutter, so then it's mutter. If it's something which is usher, so then the result is going to be usher, irrespective of whether the other contributing factor was there, whether it was not there, whether it was removed, whether it was not removed. So in other words, maybe the svar for Rebbe Elazar is not the way Abaye says it, but just simply makeh bepatish, acharon aniba. And has nothing to do with zev zegarim. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela Rebbe Elazar v'Rabbanan de'etzim did not. So the Gemara says, okay, but I have another Mishnah. Natalai menu etzim, asura behana. Hisik ba esatanor. We're talking about taking wood from the Asherah tree. If I take wood from the Asherah tree, that wood is asura behana. If hisik ba esatanor, if I light an oven with it, chadash, if it's a brand new oven, yutats, I gotta break it. Yashan, if it's an old oven, yutsan, I just simply have to let it cool down. With a new oven, the first firing of fire in the new oven actually makes it a oven, meaning it is the finishing touch to the oven, and therefore it requires breakage. Otherwise, in other words, if the oven is already made and the fire is only contributing heat, so just let it cool down and start a new fire in the oven again. So alfa boas apas, if let's say using the fire that's created by the avodah zara wood, so asura bana, so therefore it can't get benefit from the resulting bread. And if it gets mixed in with other ones, it's going to be also b'na. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Yolechana'a liyama melech. Rabbi Elazar has a really interesting opinion. Yes, there is benefit that went from the Avodah Zarah wood into the bread. But you know what you could do? You could redeem it. If you take whatever value is, you monetize that value, and you then take money and transfer that hana from the bread into the money, take the money and destroy the money, so you're good to go. And Amr Lo, and Pidgin Lavaros Kochavim. And the Chachamim say to Rebbe Elazar, you can't do that, There's no room for pidgin when it comes to avodah zarah. Now, aside from that point, Rabban de Pliga led to Rav Lazar Maninu. So the Gemara says, now, the Chachamim are arguing with Rav Lazar, but on one specific point, and that is that you're unable to redeem it. But in other words, but short of that, in other words, what they're basically saying is that you are, in fact, the resulting bread is going to be usur, even though we're looking at an example of Zevazegorim. Meaning the wood that you heated up in the oven is a contributing factor to the making of the bread. But you also have the oven as well. So now the Gemara says, Mani nu'ilim, a rabbanan de eitzim, is it the chachamim by eitzim achmur machmir? The chachamim over there machmir. El a rabbanan de soror. So the Gemara says, it must be the rabbis by the case of the soror of truma. So eimet, deshamalil a rabbanan de mekila besoror by vosko chavim, mi makili. Okay, but that's truma. Here we're talking about a vodazara. El alolam ha rabbi yosi vaha rabbanan. So the Gemara says, so really the truth of the matter is that one is expressing the opinion of Rav Yossi, and the other is expressing the sheet of the Chachamim. And Rav Yossi l'divrem de Rabbanan, Amalahu. And what Rav Yossi was saying is wasn't espousing his own opinion, but within the sheet of the Chachamim. Lididi zevizegorim motor, for me, I always have the opinion that zevizegorim is going to be motor. But lidchu, but according to you, the amit zevizegorim is asr. Odelimia asaf yirakos begimosak shamim, v'rabbanan, kida'am Rav Mari b'reid Rav Kahana, Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. I'm sorry. Look, I hold Zevizagorim as mutter, so for me it's not a problem. But you hold Zevizagorim as usr, so the leaves falling down on top of the, right underneath the tree, so you should hold that it's usr. And their response is what we discussed earlier. The net gain versus the net loss. And so that's why the Chacham said we're going to be makel in such a scenario. And finally, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halachik Rav Yossi. And the Gemara says the halach is in fact like Rav Yossi. The Gemara seems over here to conclude very clearly that Zevizigarim is in fact going to be mutter.